is beginning to rain, rain, rain in the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. Hello, friends. It's great to be with you again here as we continue our exciting series, The Shocking Truth About Jesus. Do we have some revelations about Jesus we're talking about here at Bible Home Church? But you know, the interesting thing is these revelations are found in your Holy Bible. That's right. The world doesn't seem to know about the real Jesus, the Jesus of glory, but your scriptures tell you all about him. Now, you can't expect to find this information from your local pastor, because I believe that only a handful of pastors across this world today have any idea who the true Jesus is. You cannot go to some seminary and ask the professors at there or some Bible school. You may not go to your own library and look up so-called authoritative books about the life of Jesus. You certainly can't go to see the Hollywood movies about the life of Jesus. And so there's only one place to go. And I like to go there anyway, and you will too if you're a true Christian. This is a Jesus that is not an environmentalist. The Bible tells you about a Jesus who tells the truth about his own flesh people, the Jews. This is a Jesus who was a great prophet, in fact, the greatest prophet of all. This is a Jesus who is alarming to the politically correct crowd, because he stated that God's love is extended to all the world, but there will come a time in which that love will be withdrawn, and that time is different for every human being. There will come a time, the Bible says, when you cannot even pray and be heard by God. Seek him today while you still can, the Bible warns people. There are a lot of people today that say, I can wait. I can wait to turn to Jesus. I'll have plenty of opportunity later. Maybe I'll even wait till the rapture comes. And after I see all the Christians have left the earth, then I'll believe, or then I'll put my belief into action. I'll show my faith as being manifest at that time. Oh, no, 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 you don't understand. The Bible says that after the Antichrist is revealed, that God will send a strong delusion. You'll be caught up in that delusion. You will not be able to help yourself. You'll take the mark of the beast. There is an acceptable time of the Lord. It may be today for you, my friend, if you have not accepted Jesus. Today may be the last time, the last opportunity you'll ever have. You say, well, do you mean, Tex, if I go out and get hit by an automobile or some terrible accident, or if I die today, is that what you mean? That could be. It could be today is your last day on earth. But it might be that God decides you've had every opportunity. He has called you again and again. He calls many, but few are chosen. He's called you. You know he's called you. You felt a tugging in your heart, but you resisted. He called, and you didn't open the door to victory. You kept it shut. He wanted to come in. He knocked on the door and said, please let me come in. I want to share with you. And you said, no, I don't have time. I'm too busy. I have other interests right now. Maybe tomorrow. Reminds me of the Apostle Paul who spoke to the king, and the king said, I'm almost persuaded. Yes, Paul gave witness of Jesus Christ. The king said, I'm almost persuaded, but I'll wait until another day and call for you and talk about these things. There's no indication in the Bible he ever got a second chance. Maybe somebody else witnessed to him. I don't know. Maybe he got down on his knees later. There's nothing in history that tells us one way or another. But isn't that the refrain heard so often today? Well, thank you for witnessing to me. Well, that's interesting. And then it might even be the person is almost persuaded. But then a roadblock comes in. Satan sends little messengers. And the person says, well, not today. Maybe later. Maybe tomorrow. Maybe next week. Maybe, you know, after I'm finished doing the sinning that I'm doing now. Maybe when I've got more strength. Maybe when things are different around here at home. All kinds of excuses and justifications and denials come forward to prevent a person. And that may be your last time. God may close the door. He opens the door and no man can shut it. But God can close doors and no man, the book of Revelation says, can open them. How do you know that the door to salvation is not going to close to you? It might be from this day forward, the rest of your life, you will see people coming to accept Jesus all around you. Maybe almost all of your loved ones, your neighbors, your old friends, they'll say, I found a new life. I'm a changed person. I've got Jesus. And at that moment you say, well, maybe I should accept Jesus too. And you'll get on your knees. And you know what? He won't listen to you. A lot of people say, Tex, that's blasphemy to say that Jesus won't listen to a person. No, it's not. It's true. It's true. The Old Testament says there's even a time when you might as well not even pray about it. You may as well not even pray about it. He won't even listen. There will come a time in the life of some people, the Bible says, when God will actually laugh at their calamities. Oh, no, that's a politically incorrect God. See, we're taught that any time God will be there. He's just like the genie, just like Aladdin's lamp. You just go get your lamp and you rub it a few times and he poof shows up. You're a magician. You can make him vanish or appear at any time. You're like God's keeper. You call on him, he must come. Are you greater than God, my friend? Oh, I do believe God is merciful. But there may come a time in your life when he says it's too late for Robert, it's too late for Kimberly, it's too late for Jane. That's the end for Michael. I've strived with him. But I said in my Bible, my spirit will not always strive with man. And so he's finished. He's gone. He's got a one-way ticket to hell. You've got to believe in the real Jesus, my friend. Not the syrupy one that everybody says, oh, he loves everybody. Doesn't matter what they do. You can kick him around. You can flirt with false religions. You can play games with his Bible and add and subtract words with these new Bible versions. He'll always be there when you call on him. I'm here to tell you, friends, he may not be there for you. Now, on the other hand, if you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord, I want to tell you something. He makes a pact with you. He makes a covenant with you. He makes a new testament. And he says, you're my chosen people. You are my child. You're my daughter. You're my son. Now listen to me. I don't know about your parents. I hope they were good examples. But I know that my mother and my dad, when I called on them, they were always there. Doesn't mean they always liked everything I did. Doesn't mean I liked everything they did. But they were always there for me. But they're just human. God is God, and He has the strength and the power and the commitment and the determination, and He has made a promise He will be there for you. That's the difference between the child of God and the reprobate out in the world. Someone asked me one time, can a sinner pray to God and have his prayers answered? Some say no. You know, after all, why should you have access to the throne? You're not a child of God. Ask Tex Mars, I'll tell you bluntly. He might. But he doesn't have to. You don't have any pact with him. You don't have any covenant. He's not your father. You can go to the man next door. Why should he listen to you? Why should he heed your calls for help? He hasn't adopted you as his son or daughter. But once he does, he calls you. He says, come to me. Let me be your father. If you say yes, if you accept, and not only accept, if you repent of your sins and you beg him to come in, he'll come into your heart, and then he'll never leave. In fact, Paul said, do not commit sin, for you grieve the Holy Spirit, by which you are sealed unto redemption. That's why we're not supposed to sin as Christians. Not only is it a bad example, and you're to abstain even from all appearance of sin, but you have to understand, the Holy Ghost resides and lives in you. And he cannot tolerate sin. It disgusts him. It revolts him. It makes him sick. It makes him, and listen to me very carefully, disappointed in you. You know why he's disappointed? Because he loves you. Now, if you've been a parent, you or even had ever loved anyone in your life, you know what it feels like when they disappoint you. So God can be greatly disappointed. He's still going to love you. He's got a covenant with you. He's still your father, but he's hurt. He's disappointed. And you need to ask him for forgiveness and get cleaned again and get white as snow and be in a harmonious relationship with God. You have a special relationship. He is your father in heaven, and you can cry out to him, Abba, which means Father. When you pray to my Father in heaven, and he'll hear your prayers. But if you're a reprobate person who's never accepted Jesus, he certainly hears everything that you say, but it doesn't mean he's going to give you the desire of your heart. And why should he? You've been rejecting him all this time. It's a little bit like, you know, not coming to work, you know, called to be an employee, but you never show up for work. And after 10 years of never showing up for work, you go in and you say, I would like all these things be given to me. And they say, we don't even know you. But don't you remember you offered me a position? You called me? Was it, 10 years ago? And they say, no, I don't even know you. We could go back in our records and we could probably find where we called you to come to work for us, but you never showed up. We called you. See, God calls people to the marriage supper of the Lamb, but they don't show up. And some of them act like they did. They act very religious. They're sanctimonious. They fill up church pews pretending that they accepted the invitation, but they never showed up. And then they stand before God at before the judgment throne, and they say, Lord, look at all the things I did in your name. He said, you never showed up. You're not mine. I don't even know you. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. He said, but I did all these things. I cast out devils in your name. I witnessed. Oh, no. You did those in your own flesh. Depart from me. I never knew you. What a disappointment to you that would be. But you can know that you are saved. And the way to know is, first of all, ask yourself this question as we go through this series. And we have a few more sessions on this series now. The true Jesus versus the politically incorrect Jesus. And listen to me very carefully. If your heart is in line with a true Jesus, if you recognize this Jesus as being the one who came into your heart and made you whole, washed you whiter than the snow sometime in your life, then you'll know. Ask God as you listen to these comments that we're going to have tonight and for the next few weeks. Ask yourself, was this the Jesus that I accepted in my heart? Or ask him, Lord Jesus, did you not become my Father? And you know what? He'll tell you the truth. You'll know. You'll have a burning in your a bosom. You'll have a understanding in your heart. You'll know. It'll be settled. So many people ask me, how do I know if I'm saved? Ask Jesus. Don't ask me. I don't know what your relationship with God. Ask Jesus. Do you think he's such a mean, terrible, cruel master that he won't even tell you? If you went to your natural father and said, are you my father? Would he not say yes? Jesus will tell you. You will know. Well, we got a beautiful music today. Oh, yes, a sinner saved by grace. Oh, that's right on target. A sinner saved by grace. And then for the time we have left, we're going to continue with our message on the true Jesus.
If you could see what I once was, if you could go with me back to where I started from, then I know you would see the miracle of love that took me in its sweet embrace and made me what I am today. Just an old sinner saved by grace.
I just a sinner saved by grace. When I stood condemned to death, he took my God has won. Where would
had gotten a broke knee champion's place. I'm here to say I'm nothing but an old sinner saved by grace. I'm just a sinner, yeah, saved by grace. When I stood condemned to death, he took my
white men. And you know what? Those 12 white men, they were all of the same ethnic group, the same religion. Does that sound diverse to you? He didn't believe in diversity. Jesus had to be a bigot and a hater. He chose 12 white men, all of the same ethnic group and race, and all of the same religious background to be his disciples. You feminists, come on, get on your high horses. Now, here's something. Jesus healed people, it said in the Bible. He healed a leper. He healed a blind man. He healed somebody that had palsy. There was a woman that had a blood disease. Obviously, this is medicine, practicing medicine without a license. Do we have documented proof they were healed? Well, yes, there were witnesses there. Well, even the more so, he probably ought to be arrested, practicing medicine without a license. And then he said he cast out devils. You know what, my friends? The American Psychiatric Association could complain about that. I mean, one of these devils was out in the... I mean, one of these guys that had these devils supposedly was out in the tombs. Now, psychiatrists would say he had multiple personality disorder, MPD. Because he said he had a legion. You know, maybe thousands of spirits that possessed his body. What a horrible psychiatric disorder. Jesus didn't know anything about psychiatry, though. He didn't promote psychology. He just cast out those devils, they said. Well, there again, he was practicing medicine without a license. Practicing psychology without a license. He probably should have read a couple of good books on multiple personality disorder. But as far as I know, he never read any books like that. Jesus didn't. Didn't have libraries back then, as far as I know. And so it seems to me, here again, politically incorrect. Now, talk about being an anti-environmentalist. This guy was politically incorrect. Did you know that Jesus once stated, quote, "Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire"? That's not a good environmentalist. Recommending that people just, I mean, come on. It's still a beautiful tree. It's still part of Mother Earth, part of us. We're all connected. We're all the cycle of life, the circle of life.
And he says, just cut it down and cast it into the fire if it doesn't bring forth good fruit. Besides, isn't that an incitement to destroy and burn forest? Burn it down! Oh, my, he's politically incorrect. Read Mark chapter 11, verses 19 through 23. Did you know that he once damaged a fig tree? His disciples saw a fig tree that had dried up from his roots and had died, and they said unto him, Master, behold a fig tree which thou cursed and is withered away. He just cursed some tree and it withered away. Well, now come on. Did he have that much power? Did he do something? Did he put some terrible insecticide or poison on that tree? That fig tree just withered away? Is that what a good environmentalist does? And listen to this one. Besides that, he used public lands, as far as I know, without a permit. Remember when he said, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not to lay his head? He went out and lived out in the countryside, in the wilderness. But he didn't have any permit to do that. And then there was the case of 5,000 men, women, and children at one of his meetings. There, at some mountain area. Gave what he called the Sermon on the Mount. Well, first of all, he fed them. And you know, he did not have a food establishment license. How do we know the food was sanitary? As far as I know, there were no Johns there. There were no sanitary facilities. Did he really provide for this crowd? Did he get a permit from the local authorities? No, he didn't do anything like that. Was there any inspection by medical personnel or by food and drug administration people of those fishes and loaves? There was not, as far as the Bible says. I mean, that's all kind of public laws, regulations being broken there. Now listen to this one. We can go on and on with the laws this guy broke, this Jesus. Mortuary regulations. Did you know he raised a man from the dead? Well, first of all, he left behind the unsanitary linens. The guy just took his linens off and walked, they said. First of all, can undertakers and mortuary people do that, raise people from the dead? No, they cannot. Why, here in the state of Texas, they got to put formaldehyde in the bodies. Well, that'll make sure they don't raise again.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.